Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I would typically record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. But with coronavirus, I'm not driving to work and I'm not in a high school. I'm teaching from my house and I'm walking in my neighborhood. So hope you're well. Hope you're safe. Even if it's a rainy day or a gloomy day, wherever you are, it's better to be safe inside, even if the weather is nasty, than to be in a school building where that's just not feasible for any of us. And we're looking at the possibility of remote teaching to be the story for the rest of the school year and maybe well into next. Everything's up in the air. We're figuring it out together. And so this podcast is every day. We pushed up our production schedule from once a week, it used to be Mondays, to now it's once a day. And we talk about the latest trends in education, what we're seeing, what we're hearing, and how we can make this learning experience better for all of us, whether you teach littles or middles, high school, adult learners, college kids. It's the build the plane as you fly it kind of thing, right? And so daily drops of knowledge, things that I'm finding from the web, research, articles. I don't pretend to be the expert. I just pretend to be a guy who does the research and does the work. Feel free to take it, ignore it, use it, or steal it, because I think some of this stuff is pretty useful. But like I said, it's just the start of a conversation. We'd love to have more of it. So to that point, if you like what you're hearing, feel free to like or subscribe on your favorite internet podcasting thing, whether it's Spotify or iTunes. I appreciate it. If you leave a comment, it helps people find the podcast. So that's cool. Likewise, if you want to join the conversation, I'm not pretending to be an expert, man. I'm just the guy who's like doing the work. And I would love to do the work with you if you have some time. I got a lot of free time these days. Message me on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. That's Meehan like my last name and EDU like teaching. Happy to talk about teaching at any time. And if you wanted more information, more resources, I have a website. It's www.adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational adrenaline. Check it out. Use it. I have resources, templates, open source things, social media things, whatever can make your life easier for distance learning. I also wrote a book. It's called Adrenaline Rush. It's all about ways to change the game in our classrooms, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. And though physically those places are closed down, the spirit of these same things really needs to power us through this distance learning time. I want to talk about something that I talk about in the book today, but it's about speedy feedback, and I'm going to use an acronym about theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. They all give you the illusion of peril, the illusion of danger, but you're never really in real danger as long as you play by the rules, right? You're on a roller coaster. You please keep your hands and arms, feet, and legs inside of the moving vehicle at all times. You're good. You push your lap bar and your restraint down, you stay in your seat, you're good. You can throw your hands up, you can scream. Every time I'm on Space Mountain in Walt Disney World, I'm convinced it's going to take my head off because you're dipping and diving and ducking and you're like, whoa, man, as you're slipping through in this fast pace. But I've been on that ride for 30 years and I've never once had my head taken off. And I'm taller today than I was 10 years ago, right? But you have this illusion of fear. Likewise, if you're on a mud run, though there have been these rare circumstances where people get seriously injured or there are fatalities in cases of these outdoor obstacle courses, what we find is most cases those things come from pre-existing traditions or freak accidents. A freak accident like there's a flesh-eating bacteria in the water that went unidentified. That sort of thing is hard to predict. Or a person has a pre-existing heart condition or seizures, and then when they're taking part in the strenuous activity, then they collapse. And that's an awful situation, certainly. But they have race officials there on the side of the courses to make sure that you're safe. If there's any need for medical, right, in a marathon, you have the tent where they can run over. Every time I've run marathons and needed to pop like Advil or Tylenol along the race, they'll mark your hand with a big red X or a black X to let the world know you took Tylenol already at least once, so you don't find yourself taking too many. And again, they're there to keep you safe and supported, and that's good. And at every quarter mile, every half mile, there's people there cheering for you. So if it looks like you're fatiguing, they'll raise the red flag, they'll raise the hand up, get the people in to save you. I've been on race courses where they've had, you know, medical, they've had ambulances, they've had stretchers, they've had the med tent afterwards. You have to get fluids in you, things like that. I've even been at one where there was a medevac. And I saw a helicopter landing outside of an obstacle course because someone had broken, I guess, a pretty significant compound fracture of a leg. It happens. It's awful. But like they build in these things to make sure that you are as reasonably safe as you can be. And if you've ever done anything like an escape room, it's the illusion of peril. You're never really being chased by zombies or, you know, Cold War secrets from the Soviets. And if you ever need to, you push the red phone button or the emergency help. And someone's there at headquarters or at the front desk to sort of give you a tip to help get you unstuck. They can video chat in with you or give a overhead, note to get you unstuck. So you're one step closer in your attempt to you know, flee the crumbling kingdom or whatever it winds up being. Okay, fine. But the illusion of peril is good. Real peril is bad. Each of these things does a great job of making sure that you are safe. So here's the acronym. Safe, 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 safe. S-A-F-E. Specific, actionable, feedback, expediently. Roller coasters. If you have ever had a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old, they're terrified to go on a roller coaster until they go on it. The second they go on it, they look at you and they're like, can I do that again? Because they've conquered their fear and now they have mastery over that fear and they want a chance to do it again to prove, hey, I'm not scared. In fact, I was never really scared on any time, right? I want to do it again. Getting that feedback when you get beat in Fortnite, you get that, you know, game post-game report. You came in 13th place out of, you know, 50 people. Well, darn it, now I want to get back and do it again. Now in 12th place, 10th place, and then, like, you know, fall back a little bit, you know, 20th place, 27th place, but then back up to 17th place. And now I'm up to 4th place. Gradually, consistently, over time, specific, actionable feedback expediently. Theme parks, mud runs, escape rooms do a great job of making you feel scared, but you're never really supposed to be scared. Like, you're all in on the joke together, and you're all getting that feedback about ways to improve again and again and again, whether that's your personal performance or your personal enjoyment. Over time, we really do want to make our classes feel like that. So in the physical space of a classroom, this week we're talking about planning like Netflix, whether it's Joe Exotic speaking of things that are not safe, right? Or lesson planning that has some sort of appeal, some danger, some intrigue about it. We want it to create this illusion that there's a lot here that should be scary, but don't worry, I'm with you there every step of the way. And specific actionable feedback delivered expediently can be incredibly hard in a distance learning module. I don't know about you, but I wake up when I want to wake up. Some of us have kids in the house and we don't have that luxury. But for those of us who do not have children, I might go to bed at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning because I was in a writing groove or a Netflix groove or a video game groove or, you know, catching up with friends, whatever it is. But at 4 o'clock in the morning is when I conk out. I might not wake up till 9, 10, 11 o'clock the next morning. It's hard for me to then dial in and commit myself to 4 or 5 hours worth of Zoom calls or text messages or emails. And I have this sort of time shift in my day. So what happens is if I don't do a full day's worth of work every day, I've created a logjam where 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 days come up. But you're teaching during pandemic. It's really hard to get yourself out of bed if you're living by yourself. If you're living with kids and other people with schedules in your house, you might not be in charge of your own schedule. Baby gets sick today. Baby has, you know, the cough, or baby just has, you know, a rash. Baby's not sleeping. You're around the clock. You got to keep your baby alive. That's priority number one. Work can wait, right? That's real peril. Making sure your kids are alive, making sure your family's alive, making sure that you're safe and that you're healthy is way more important than any amount of school we can give. That said, school doesn't wait. And if we don't do one day's worth of work, it piles up again and again and again. So what sort of tips or feedback can we have for educators to create that thing that expedites the work that is not the fun part of our job, feedbacking? Because feedbacking, if it's done right, takes a ton of time, or it can. I pushed out a thing the other day on Twitter, and it seemed to have caught a little bit of traction, so I wanted to share it again here for today's thing. This week we talked about, like, lesson planning like a board game, lesson planning like a Netflix model, lesson planning like an interactive production schedule like a TV show, like a limited run series that you just can't look away from. Because what makes Tiger King work is once it clicks in the zeitgeist, everyone shares those memes and it trends on social media. If it was not doing that thing, new faces, new voices would not think to check out those websites or those stories or those podcasts or those television programs. And so what are we doing to kind of get in the, I guess, the ether, so that our kids can know, hey, I see you, I hear you, and I want you to know that this feedback loop is something that you're a part of, specific, actionable feedback expediently. If you deal with older kids, I'm going to give you a pro tip that will save you a ton of time for giving regular feedback every day. Build in some level of peer accountability or sharing in your activity so that students are not just presenting for you, the teacher. They're presenting for one another, the audience of student, a hypothetical schedule. If on Monday they had a short thing they had to do, on Tuesday they had to maybe make a short Flipgrid video, submit to the thread, where they talk about what they've learned. Wednesday's class could be you giving direct instructional clarification, whether it's a Zoom or a Google Hangout or a short video that you've screencasted or posted up on Edpuzzle, whatever that looks like. But their homework on Wednesday should be watch the video submitted by your classmates on Tuesday. Pick any one or two videos and reply to their video with a video, or reply to their discussion post with your comments, or read their blog or their website of your peer and evaluate. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Why? What did they say that worked really well? what would you point to that would be maybe a point for clarification or a place that could be enhanced or a chance to grow or learn? Specific actionable feedback expediently. You don't have to be the person, the teacher, who does all that feedback by yourself. You can outsource that stuff in class because we wouldn't grade everything, right? In class, if you're grading everything, then you're grading nothing. But we want formative feedback, formative assessment to be a part of our teaching, even when we're away. So, students, I want you to dial in on Tuesday to see the Zoom meeting. Okay, fine. Then, for if you were not able to make the Zoom meeting, no problem. Here's the main points we talked about in bullet points or the slide deck, whatever it is. Talk about your three things that you learned that was most important in this discussion forum, and then reply to one another's post. Do you agree with this person? Why? Who do you agree with more? Who do you think had the best take on it? Or you do an activity where you do, like I said, Flipgrid or something like that, which requires very little in the way of video consumption. You watch a 30-second video, right? It's not very long. And you make a short video creation right there from your phone. Hey, students, watch the thread of one another talking about their favorite parts of our unit on the American Revolution. Then reply to the person who you think gave the best video and say why their video was good. Kids are grading one another's stuff. That alleviates a ton of pressure from you. So you can do that long-term work and focus your attention on the thing that needs to be maybe a bigger game, because you only have so much time in your day. And if you're dealing with your own kids and your own life, your own schedule, your own families, your own health, sometimes watching 3 hours or 4 hours of student videos, you just don't have time for it. So don't do it. Specific actionable feedback expediently. I'm not saying never watch those videos. I'm saying build a schedule for yourself where you're not the only one. I heard somebody say it. I want to say it's Russian Hurley, maybe. He said when students perform or create a project for a teacher, that'll be good enough. But when they create something for an authentic audience, they'll make sure it's good. Right? Good enough versus good. We want our students to push things out and be proud of the work that they're doing. And if we're talking about like a display-worthy thing or a binge-worthy thing or a limited-run thing that the world must see, it should be to an audience that's more than you as the teacher. That said, you do need to put your eyes on it as the teacher to be but one voice in that evaluation so students know, hey, I do see you. The work that you're doing matters. Keep on it. Keep after it. And then one last thing that I shared this week on Twitter that could be of help for you, and again, feel free to steal it, use it. On my website, I have a thing called 15-minute feedback. It's under the distance learning plan. You can take a look at 15-minute feedback. And it looks like this. Make a Google form that says, hi, student name. When it comes to indicator one, I felt that your quality was comment X. Hi, student name. When it comes to indicator two, I thought your comment was, and then you know, whatever that next thing is. So it's a series of pull-down menus in a Google form. Hi, person, and the person name is off of a list. When it comes to indicator X, I feel your feedback was blah, 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 blah. Rinse and repeat again and again and again. Bang, 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 down you go. So as you're watching student videos or reading student blogs or scoring student submissions, even looking at things as comprehensive as essays, you, as the teacher, have a very quick 20,000-foot overview of, okay, the reading, the writing, the speaking, the presentation skill, whatever it is, you've looked for maybe four or five different indicators, maybe the mechanics, the layout, the creativity, the cohesion, the sentence structure, whatever it is. Build those into drop-down menus. It then dumps it all into a Google Sheet when you're done. You then take that Google Sheet row, cut-paste from cell A all the way to cell J or cell X, cut-paste that directly into a feedback, either an email or to your LMS or to your grading software for your students. And just like that, in 15 minutes, you can grade a whole class's worth with like paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs of rich feedback, because it's like a Mad Libs. Hi, students. I was reading your thing X. What I noticed about your thing X was that you were really good at trait Y. One thing to consider going forward was skill set Z. A resource that may be of most value is link to resource here. But all that stuff was pre-programmed, because chances are if students are making the same kind of mistakes, you're going to see them again and again and again. And in our classrooms, we should not be grading for everything in every assignment. So focus this assignment, let's say, on mechanics, or focus this assignment on balancing equations, or this assignment on using good data from credible sources. Build what would have been your rubric into a Google Sheet, and then with a series of pull-down menus, click, 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 you're very quick to say, hey, they either have it or they don't have it yet. They get it in what appears to be a lengthy, comprehensive, narrative feedback-style email, and then students walk away saying, hey, this is specific. This is actionable. I can change that stuff. There's an action plan to move myself forward and to get better. And they don't repeat those mistakes again and again. So it's a 1-2 punch. You, the teacher, are giving them tons of great feedback in the form of paragraphs without spending hours of your life writing those things again and again and again. And two, students are presenting for authentic audiences, so it's not just the teacher says, I'm good at X, especially as you're dealing with older students. Anybody even older than like a second or third grade should be able to have some level of seeing one another's work, evaluating one another's work, and talking about how to do that. And even if you're dealing with younger students in a traditional classroom, you should have time where there's show and tell built in, right? Where we can kind of look at and ask questions to one another. It's good practice, it's good pedagogy, and ultimately makes our students feel safe. S-A-F-E, look at that. Thanks for tuning in this week. A new podcast return on Monday. If you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe, like, leave a comment, or message me on Twitter at mehanedu. God bless you. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay home. We'll get through this together, even if we have to stay apart. And we'll be back Monday with another episode. Thanks again.